Okay, it's good to be back in yeshiva and the protective walls of the yeshiva. these have been very, very trying days, unprecedented, really, in the scope of the tragedy. I don't think in my lifetime I've ever experienced such a thing. That what's going on there, Eretz Yisrael. It's very hard to even fathom. It's a nightmare. And there's a lot of questions that are, I'm sure, plaguing us, whether it's politically or theologically. How could such a thing happen? B'derech HaTeva, it makes no sense how such a thing could happen. And L'mayla min HaTeva also, it seems like impossible that we could be facing such a crisis as we are right now. And so we always have to look into what the Torah Kedoshah says, and that's all we have. Like when it all comes down to it, this is what we have. We have the Torah, we have the Hashkafas HaTorah, and that's what we're going to learn together tonight. I found a piece that I think is very appropriate in the Lev Eliyahu, in the Shvivei Lev Rav Eliyahu Lapian, which is tonight's Vad. And let's see what he says. In Eis Kuf Mem Beis, page Resh Nun Ches, in the first volume of Lev Eliyahu. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Hine zeh ayemed achar kosleinu, mashkiach min achaloinos, meitzis min acharakim. Pasuk says that he's standing behind the wall. He's mashkiach, talking about the Rabbeinu Shalom, he's the mashkiach min achaloinos, from, he's looking through the windows. And he's meitzitz min acharakim, he is peering through the lattices. Acharakim are like very small blinds, almost. Like if you can imagine like a blind on a window covering. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eimed Acher Kasleinu, he's standing on the other side of the wall. Mashkiach min achalais, he's looking through the, he's watching us, he's observing us through the windows, and he's peering, he's like peeking through the charakim, through the crevices, through the lattices. What does that mean, that pasuk? So Rav Eliyahu says like this, Yesh zmanim, there are some times in Jewish history that Klal Yisrael is zeicha to gilui panim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly with us. He's megula, he's exposed. There are times like this in history that we actually felt the Shekhinah, we knew the Shekhinah was here. Bechinas Mashkiach min Achalonos. That was the period of time that Shlomo HaMelech writes in Shir HaShirim in this pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashkiach min Achalonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks through the window. A window is a nice big open thing. Imagine somebody looking on the other side of the window in, and we'd be able to be day, we'd see the person on the other side. That's how it is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is benigla. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be clearly seen and felt, and we knew that he was with us, that's called Mashkiach min Achalonos. We see him through the window. He's looking at us through the window, and he's visible through the window. Sham Mushkach, that's us, the people that are being observed, Raya Gamas HaMashkiach Alav. They see through the window, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking over at them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching them. He's caring about us. We see him. It's very clear. He's looking through the window at us. We feel his presence. When did this happen in history? Bizman Shabbos Mikdash Hayakayim. Yisrael Shruyin Alad Maslin. Klal Yisrael was on their land. Klal Yisrael was in complete authority of their land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashra Shechina. Everything was beautiful. There were times in Klal Yisrael's history that we mamish had Gilui Shechina. That's what the Maila of the Beis HaMikdash was. the Ma'ala Beis HaMikdash was, you were able to go into Beis HaMikdash and you felt the Shechina. You felt clearly, palpably, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us. And there were Nisim that were taking place. The Mishnah in Ave speaks about Asar Nisim. There were things that that were evident. It was like clearly evident that the Shechina was here. You had meat lying around in the Beis HaMikdash. You would think that there's so many flies. Never was a fly seen in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a miracle. People would be as crammed in, packed into the Azara, that you would bow down, Aimdim Svufim. When you stood up, you were very crowded. Umishtachamim Rivachim. When you bow down, all of a sudden there was plenty of room. Physically, that can't happen. These were Nisim Galuyim. We knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us. There's just a beautiful vart from Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. He says on that Mishnah, it's good idea. It's an amazing Mishnah. I'll ask you a question on the Mishnah, or what these things in the Mishnah have in common. Listen to the thing, the 10 things that were, that the miracles that happened in the Mikdash. Okay, so we said two of them. A woman never was mapil. She never miscarried from the aroma of the Basar HaKadosh that would normally make a woman miscarry. That never happened. The Basar of Hekdesh never spoiled. A fly was never in the place that they shechted. That's what I said before. A Kayin Gadol never saw carry on Yom Kippur. The rain never put out the fire of the Atzei Marocha. And the Amid HaAshran, there was a cloud of, a pillar of smoke, and it never blew, it never dissipated. There was never Psol Ne'aymer. They would stand up straight and they would bow down with plenty of room. There was never a snake or a scorpion that bit somebody in Yerushalayim. And nobody ever said, it's too crowded, it's too cramped for me to sleep in Yerushalayim. Those are the 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Anyone notice like a common thread, very strange common thread that runs through all of these things? Normally when I tell you that something is miraculous, it's something that you think is, wow, there's going to be something, you know, positive that's happening. You know, all of a sudden, like the Kohen Gadol would fly, or, some supernatural stuff. The waters would be splitting in the basement. It doesn't say that. It says the things that didn't happen. It didn't happen. It never happened that that a fly came into the basement. It never happened that that a snake or a scorpion would bite somebody in Yerushalayim. These are miracles that happened in the absence of something bad. And you see what I'm saying? Like, all of these things is things that the Basar HaKadosh never spoiled. These are things that you needed, like, special eyes to see. Because normally, do we ever notice when something bad doesn't happen? We normally notice when something bad happens, or when something really good happens. We don't notice when something bad doesn't happen. You know, like if, you don't notice that your refrigerator didn't break. You know, right? My refrigerator generally breaks right before Yontif. That's when the sewage issues have, everything happens right before Shabbos or Yontif. That's known. But do you ever, like, when something bad doesn't happen, you ever notice that? Like, when you wake up in the morning, you don't have a strep throat, your throat is fine. Never say, if you have a strep throat, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you have a strep throat, and you're complaining, and you feel, like, really sick. But what happens when it didn't happen, when something bad was avoided? You don't notice that. You'll notice that, Baruch Hashem, we have electricity, the lights didn't go out. But the miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash were all the absence of something bad happening. I would never notice that, the meat isn't spoiled, but That was one of the nisim. The meat never spoiled. The fly never came. I'm not focused on a fly coming if I don't see a fly. But the Mishnah is teaching you that you have to. You have to notice when bad things are not happening. As bad as we think our situation is in life, you always have to be grateful for the things that didn't happen. You know, I think there's a story with Reb Chaim Kanievsky that he was, somebody made a kiddush in shul one morning after davening. He put out like a tikkun. And so they said, what happened? He says, he was crossing across one of the streets in Bnei Brak. He got hit by a car and he flew into the air and he landed, and Baruch Hashem, everything worked out okay. He was able to get up and not even a bruise, and he's able to walk. So he made a kiddush. Next morning, Reb Chaim brought in tikkun of his own. I said, what's this for? He says, because I realized that I crossed that street, you know, for 35 years I've been crossing that same street and I never got hit by a car once. But you don't notice that. You don't notice when a car doesn't hit you. You'll notice when something chas v'shalom does happen, that's when it's a tragedy. Or you're saved because when nothing bad happens, you have to appreciate that also. If you're able to drive from Queens to wherever you live, and you didn't get into an accident, you should make a kiddush, really. That's an amazing thing. We don't think about that. Of course I made it here, Pasha. You know how many things have to go right in order for you to get from point A to point B without an accident? That means you have to be awake. You have to, all the traffic lights had to work. The other people had to not be drunk around you. And, whatever. There's so many things that could have gone wrong. Nothing went wrong, but you don't even notice that. But the Mishnah is telling you that you have to notice the miracles that are in the absence of something bad happening. Anyway, that is Cheskel Abramsky's Varna in the Mishnah. But anyway, let's get back. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina was Shaira in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash, that was a time of Mashkiach Menachalainis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was clearly looking Kaviyachal through the window, through the big window, and we could see him. We're the Mushkachim, we are being observed. We saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we felt him observing us. But when it gets really dark in Galus, kind of like today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashkiach Aleinu Ba'isa Mida B'lei Shinuch Chas V'Shalom. You should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still looking out over us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still Mashkiach on us. He's looking, he's observing, he's carefully, lovingly watching us without any difference. It doesn't matter. Nothing changed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective. The only thing that changed between now, or between the time of the Beis HaMikdash and now, is the amount that we're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at us regardless of how much window there is between us and him. He always is watching us. He's always loving us. He's always caring about us. But just the difference is how we're able to perceive him. Ani Hashem lo shiniti. Hashem says, I am God and I never changed. Don't think that I changed. So what changed? Ela sha'anu sasasmo es hachalain. We shut the window. We were the ones that closed the shades, that closed the blinds. Now, HaKadosh Baruch is still looking at us, but he's looking at us through the cracks, through the lattices. Klaimem min ha-sadokim. It means that he is watching us from the sadokim, through the cracks. Sha'od nisharu beinenu lebein kinnei. There's still a few lattices, a few ways that HaKadosh Baruch could still peek through and see us. But we were the ones that put up the curtain. We were the ones that lowered the blinds. Oh, because Zerak HaMashkiach Reyes HaMushkach. The only difference is now he could see us. Avalein HaMushkach Yachal Liris HaMashkiach Derech HaCharakim. But it doesn't work the other way. The Klal Yisrael can't see him. He's able to see us. He does see us the same way. Sometimes we think that Hester Panim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns his back on us. That's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always, always is watching over us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always cares about us, loves us. The only difference is that when there's Hester Panim, it means that we were the ones that lowered the curtain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has to kaviyachol peer through the little cracks at us, but he's still looking at us. It's just that we feel the Hester upon him. We feel that no one's looking at us. Hey, I'm looking out the window. Nobody's seeing me. But he is. He's peering through the cracks. It's not an open wound because we were the ones that lowered the blinds. Yes, no.
So if that's the case, Hashem is always looking out for us. And what's the idea on Tisha B'Av that Hashem is like angry with us and doesn't want to hear us?
Okay, let's just see. Let's just see a little bit more, and then maybe we'll touch on what you're asking. Okay, so v'hainu ma'ish ma'asher kasa v'anochi haster aster espanei b'yamahu, and this is what the Torah says when it says that I will hide my face on that day. Klaimar, anihu oisei ha'anochi b'yamahu. He has a very unusual way of learning this pasuk. I am the same day. I am the same anochi. I am God. And I'm the same God as I was yesterday. Nothing really changed mitzidi. I'm still in the driver's seat. I'm in the same seat. Basically what he's saying is, and this will, I think, answer your question, Noam, that there's really no difference ever in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of loving us, caring about us. You know, Noam was saying on Tisha B'Av, you know, we have this notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very angry with us, and it's not true. It's all not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has unconditional love for us. He always did, and he always will. It's true, sometimes you find the Torah that he has charoi naf. He's, when we do Avodah Zarah, he's very upset. Chazal teach us. And Kelkane v'noikim, the Rambam, Mar Nebuchim says that whenever it says a lashon of Kelkane v'noikim, it's always talking about against Avodah Zarah. When we do Avodah Zarah and we do things against him, he's not happy about it. But it never changes his love for us. He's always carefully watching over us. It's just that sometimes we don't see him watching over, and we feel that he's not watching over us. Why does that happen? Because we do averus. We do averus of what an avera really is. It's a curtain that we're pulling down between us and him. It's a mechitza that's mabdil. It creates a certain distance between us and him every time we do averus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's really us doing it. It's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like turning his back on us. We're the ones that pull down the curtain. We say, look, God's not here. What do you mean God's not here? You pull down the curtain and you're telling me that God's not here. God is here. God is watching us. It's just that we don't realize that he's watching us because there's a curtain now. It's not the Mashkiach Menachalainas as we were used to during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a completely different thing that there's a window now. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But just because we don't see him, we don't have these open miracles, he's still seeing us. And he still loves us. You know, it's funny that Noam should use, the word Tisha, because that's been like, you know, playing out in my mind. Like, that Simchas Torah felt, as much as we didn't know, I don't know when everyone in the room found out about what I found out about it on, when did I find out? I guess it was Shmini Atzeres afternoon. Somebody, my son told me he heard from his friend who has a cleaning lady, whatever. We were getting news like trickled in, you know, it was like slowly trickling in, like numbers were crazy, you know, whether it's true, it's not true. And then as the day, as Simchas Torah was going on, it literally felt like Tisha B'Av, like nobody, I was so nervous to make Havdalah and to have to be exposed to the news. I didn't want to, but it had a Tisha B'Av feel, and it still does. I mean, it's not getting better. The news seems to get worse and worse every single day. It's impossible to understand, to wrap our heads around what happened and what will happen, and it's frightening. But one thing I think that we could take away from this, because I've heard many people, and maybe in my own mind, I'm asking myself the same thing, like, forget about where the tzal was, you know, forget about where the army was all that time, and how such a thing could happen, and these are questions that there's going to be commissions and they're going to do investigations. But that's the politics. That's not really so relevant to us. What's the chilek? Well, my side happened. You can't go back and you can't, you know, maybe you can improve for the future, but that's not, we're not in the army. We're not the prime minister, Baruch Hashem. But the bigger question is, that I think a lot of us might be asking is, forget about where the army was. Where is Hashem? Like, how could Hashem allow such a thing to happen? Yeah, you know what 1,000 yidden are in one day, to be taken 1,000 yidden? Doesn't make sense. And Taivim Hayu Chalei Cherev, it's better sometimes people that died, at least they're in a better place. But people that were taken, 100, 150 captives, schlepped into Gaza, into the Gehenna, which is Gaza, and you don't know what they're doing to these people, you don't know what they're feeding them, what they're doing to them. You know, they're the real Rachmanis, much more, I think, than the people that died, and the relatives, Nebuch, and you know, what about all the psychological damage that I think everybody in Israel, but Befrat, the young children, imagine what they're going through, the psychological, the nightmares of living, even if you're further away from Gaza, you're near the West Bank, you're always somewhere very close to Arab villages, and the thought of that at any given moment, any night, this could happen, imagine what these families are going through. So, you know, how did this happen? Like, you know, but that's not a question that we're allowed to ask. We're not allowed to ask a question like that. The Holocaust happened, pogroms happened, Churban Beis HaMikdash happened. The Eibishter has his cheshbonos. We don't know the cheshbonos, no, and anyone that claims to know a cheshbon is a fool and a liar, because nobody knows. The Chavetz Chaim used to say that, he's speaking really about Mashiach coming, but I think it applies to these types of situations, that those who know don't say, and those who say don't know. You know, don't. So if people start saying, I know why this happened, because of this, or because of this aveir, or that aveir, baloney. We don't know. It might be true, but like, you know, anyone that says that they know, they don't know. But one thing is clear, and this is what I want to take away from tonight, and it's something that we all need, I think, as a sort of like to calm ourselves down a little bit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us. He's a Shemir Yisrael. He's protecting us. He wasn't sleeping on the job on Shemini Atzeres. He was watching us. There might have been mechitzas on the window we might not see. It's so dark in this galus. We have no idea how such a thing could happen, why such a thing could happen, what did these children do to deserve it to happen, what did the adults do to... These are great questions, but it's not questions that a believing Jew really is supposed to ask. I think of Shamsher Fal Hirsch used to say, write somewhere, that a Yid doesn't ask, Lama, why did this happen? A Yid asks, Lima, for what purpose, to what end, what can we do about it? How can we change for the better? What can we do to grow from this? Maybe we can strengthen our emunah. Maybe we could do chesed. Maybe we could learn more Torah, daven with more kavana, and or all of the above. I'm seeing videos of what people are doing, Klal Yisrael. You know, they're collecting. They're filling duffel bags with all types of equipment and food and clothing and sweatshirts and sweaters, and amazing. Mikam Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is one. Tremendous achdus has come out. Maybe that's a byproduct of it. It's not why it happened, but maybe it's a great byproduct. We have to try to do as much as we can to grow from the experience. We cannot ask lama. Why did it? That's a question that has no answer. How did 6 million Jews die during the Holocaust? There's no answer. A lot of people became, you know, not Shem retirements is because of that question. I can't say you blame them. People that went through the Holocaust and went through the Shiv Madura Gehenim, it's very hard to come out a tremendous maimon, but there were many, many people that were that did come out stronger than they came in. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always the Mashgiach. He always watches out for us. He protects us. He loves us. He's completely enamored by Klal Yisrael. And if he allowed this to happen, there's a reason. We don't know the reason, but it's not in any way an absence of the Rabbeinu Shlalem. It's just an absence in our perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a believing Jew will always say, okay, I don't know why it happened. I wish I knew why it happened, but I don't know. But that doesn't take away from my emuna one iota. I completely believe the emuna shleim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mashkiach. He's watching over me, and he cares about me. He loves me. He loves the whole Klal Yisrael. And all I could do is try to figure out a way to change. Maybe I could do tshuva. Maybe I could be more makbid on certain averus that I'm lax in, lashon hara, shmir seinayim issues, whatever it may be, bitul taira. But whatever I could do, I want to get better from this. And you see that's what's going on. Klal Yisrael could be very down right now. We are, but I'm saying the soldiers, a lot of people in the country are very. They feel like they were let down by the army that always took such good care and protected them, and now what happened? Such a breakdown. And so you think the army is like walking around, you know, terribly despondent. You see these soldiers, they're dancing, they're pumped, they're excited, they want to do battle. They understand the importance of this milchama. Klal Yisrael is a very resilient people. And just like they're resilient as far as what happened, we have to be resilient in our emunah. We have to also bounce back and say, I don't know why it happened or where the Eibishter was, but I know that he's the Mashgiach Menach Alaynus. Sometimes he's Metzitz Menach Harakim, he looks through the, but he's always here. I can't see him because it's so dark. I through my Averis, from Nechataenu, it became very dark and we can't see the Rabbi Hashem through that window. But that's not because he's not there, he's there. But we can't see him because we did Averis, we lowered the blinds, so we created this mechitza, but he's there. If we would be able to interview the Rabbi Hashem Kaviyachal now, he would tell us, I love you. What do you think? I don't like you? You don't think I love you? And there's a purpose for everything. Someday maybe he'll explain to us how this could happen. And it's way above our pay grade to try to make cheshbainis and to understand how so many yisaim and almanis and what how could this be? It doesn't go into the brain. But this is what it is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. He's watching out for us. There's a purpose and a reason for everything, even if it seems impossible to really understand and absorb. But the takeaway from tonight, from Elie Lapian, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always cares about us. He's protecting us. He's watching us. And what we feel is like a breach in that is just a breach in our perception. But from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never, ever stops loving us. And there's never a break. There's never a lapse in that shmira, in that love, in that desire to get closer to us. And perhaps if we could catapult ourselves out of this low place, we'll be able to bounce up, bounce back much higher, much stronger than when we were before on during the days of Chol HaMoed. Before this all broke, we could actually become closer to the Rabbeinu Shlalem, but that's a matter of us being able to really absorb this Yisayid, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always our Mashgiach, he's always watching over us, and his love is never, ever ended.